morning, ladies and gents. It's April 21st, and thank you for joining us on Where It Came From. I'm Vanita Patel, here with Ali Nakvi and Melissa Stevenson. Today, we'll be giving you the latest in news, sports, and entertainment. Thanks. It's a cloudy 9 degrees in Toronto with a chance of light showers. Hopefully, these April showers bring May flowers next week. We'll jump right into news after a short message from our sponsors.
Be like Mike, introducing the Air Jordan 1 Retro OG with the all-star colorway. Black and silver made from premium leather. Unique, stylish, a new spin on a classic. Release your inner all-star. Take flight. Jordan.
Now here are the headlines. Premier Kathleen Wynne introduces foreign home buyer's tax. Runway incident currently under check at Pearson. And cops have arrested over 100 people in child prostitution case. According to the Canadian press, the new foreign home buyer's tax was introduced to improve current housing market in Ontario. A similar tax was introduced in BC. Now the residents will have to pay 15% tax if you don't live at your residence. The tax will help ensure controlled rental problems as well. The Ministry of Transportation is investigating an incident that took place at Toronto Pearson Airport. The incident was caused due to two aircrafts as well as a ground vehicle came into a clash at the runway. According to York Regional Police, approximately 100 people have been arrested into child luring case. All suspects are from York Region. Police will release more details later. And that's all for your local news. And here is Melissa with sports.
Thanks, Ali. Now in the world of sports, it's playoff season. The Maple Leafs are playing Game 5 of the playoffs against the Washington Capitals tonight at 7 at the Verizon Center. The Toronto Raptors lost Game 3 of the playoffs against the Milwaukee Bucks last night. They will be playing them again tomorrow at 3 p.m. They need to win this to have a fighting chance in continuing to Round 2. The Toronto Blue Jays lost last night against the Boston Red Sox. They will be playing against the Los Angeles Angels tonight at 10 at the Angel Stadium. Here's Renita with the latest in entertainment news.
In recent entertainment news, the hit Netflix original show 13 Reasons Why still remains highly disputed. While some say it's a great way to open doors to the mental health conversation, others are saying the show could be a trigger for those suffering with mental health illnesses. Pretty Woman Julia Roberts has been crowned People Magazine's World's Most Beautiful Woman for an astonishing, and not to mention record-breaking, fifth time. Famous soul singer Cuba Gooding Sr. was found dead in his car in Los Angeles for reasons not yet known. Heartfelt condolences are flooding social media. He will be missed. Stay with us because after another short break, we'll be diving into the world of sports with DJ Kale Granton, official DJ for the Toronto Maple Leafs, joining us live in studio.
It's light. It's strong. It's small like a shoebox. With the largest memory system in the gaming world, and oh, it's certainly not a Microsoft product.
Tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs will be playing Game 4 against the Washington Capitals at the Air Canada Centre. The fans are excited for tonight's showdown as the Leafs defeated Capitals 4-3. There's a good chance if the team continues the winning streak, they can make it to the Round 2 of the playoffs. We have Toronto Maple Leafs DJ Kale Granton, who is a longtime Leaf fan and official DJ for the Toronto Maple Leafs, joining us in our studio. Thanks, DJ Kale, for joining us in our studio.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
So, how important is tonight's game for the Leafs and the fans in general?
Every game in the playoffs is super important. Tonight's game, the games on the weekend, every game is super important. Moving forward in playoffs, it's almost like a must-win situation for every game.
Do you think Leafs will make it to the Round 2? What are the chances?
You know what, I'm a very positive, optimistic person, so I personally believe that they have what it takes within them. I think that it's a nice young team and that they have a lot of advantages over an older team, and I think if they just really believe that they can and put up that solid effort that they could do that. I believe that anyone could do anything, really, if they put their mind to it. That's my philosophy of life, so I'd like to hope that the boys in blue have that same approach.
And you're the official, also the official DJ for the tailgate party at the Maple Leaf Square. What is the best part about the Leafs tailgate party at the square every night?
To be honest, I love the passion of the fans, and I have a passion as well for igniting the passion of the fans. As you know, before I worked with the Maple Leafs, I did the sports entertainment at Brock University for the basketball and volleyball, and that's where I got my start, kind of getting not only the fans pumped up, but the players pumped up as well. And when the players can hear your music as well as the fans, it's really inspiring, especially for Raptors. If you hear Akil on the stage, he talks about how the players like to look out into the square and hear the crowd and see the crowd and see how big and how important it is. And they broadcast our audience to the rest of the world on TV. So it's important that audience outside is at their maximum hype level, and I have an opportunity to assist with the music there and do that, which I appreciate.
And you know that Washington Capitals are a pretty strong opponent as well. Do you think, what is your reaction towards them? What are your thoughts on the Capitals?
To be honest, I just look at it as another team, really. I feel that once the playoff starts, especially in hockey, that the seeding kind of goes away. And I don't really look at them as a number one seed, and I don't look at us as an eighth seed. I look at it as just another opponent on the other side of the ice that will come down to who wants it more, who's hungrier, who's stronger, who trained better throughout the season, and who puts more pucks in the back of their opponent's net. I think that's what it comes down to. So, to be honest, it wouldn't matter to me if it was Pittsburgh, Chicago, Washington, or the Kings. I think that it's just another opponent to me. That's how I look at it when it comes to playoff hockey.
And one last question. Do you expect any surprises tonight?
To be honest, I hope so. I hope there's a surprise of passion, a surprise of intensity, a surprise of will to win, because that's what it takes. That's what professional sports is all about. And on my end, I hope to bring the surprise element of an amazing electric atmosphere in the Air Canada Centre. However, I feel that that's not quite the surprise, really. I think that's spoken. Definitely unspoken fact that the ACC is going to be rocking every time the blue and white step on the ice there. It's just my job to make sure that there's no unexpected surprises with the audio as far as it cutting out.
DJ Kill, thank you so much for taking time out from your busy schedule and joining us here at Toronto Observer.
No problem. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that was DJ Kill Granton, who is a longtime Leafs fan and official DJ for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who was sharing his thoughts on tonight's Leaf game against the Washington Capitals.
The Toronto Public Library is now wrapping up their pilot light therapy project that they started back in February. They started this program as a way of helping those with seasonal affective disorder. I sat with the project's coordinator, Alex Cruders, who is excited to see where this program goes and if it will be expanded.
To start off, I know you have the lights at Brentwood and at Malvern locations. Can you tell me a little about the project and what's it about for the viewers?
Sure. So we saw that there are a couple other libraries in Canada that were offering similar projects in Edmonton and Winnipeg, and we thought that it was a great project. It was really well received in those cities, so it should come to TPL. We should give it a try. We've decided to pilot the project with just two lamps each in Brentwood and Malvern, so that we can kind of see what the public response is to it. They're about $240 each, so we want to see whether it's the sort of thing that's worthwhile to expand to other branches across the system.
And what research should you guys do to know that these lights will be good for people with SAD?
Well, the idea came from kind of the initial work of other libraries who had kind of done it first. So once they had figured out, you know, there's these lights that are good for seasonal affective disorder, what we know is that the Center for Mental Health here in in Ontario says that I think it's, what's the statistic, like 3% of the population in Ontario has seasonal affective disorder, and up to 15% have the additional kind of lighter symptoms. They call them the winter blues. And sad lamps are, light therapy lamps are, you know, designed specifically to help people deal with these symptoms or these illnesses, I guess.
Located in the side library.
We made a point of putting them kind of in lounge areas so that you could sit and relax and read a book with the lamps kind of nearby. You're supposed to sit about 20 inches away from the light and not look directly at it, so we set it up for kind of optimal usage in that way. They're in the adult sections of those libraries.
I just think we should turn the light down a little bit for people that have like eye problems or like bipolar.
No, we do have it turned off when we ask people to, basically we have a sign, right? It says, you know, turn it off when you're done using, not recommended for people who, you know, we've mentioned that there's kind of limitations for who it's beneficial to.
And how has it gone so far? Like, what was this response from the users that have used it?
People have been really happy about it. We've got a lot of really positive feedback. One of the first stories I heard was a woman saying that she was feeling sad. You know, she was in her bed in the middle of the afternoon, you know, on her laptop, and she saw, oh my gosh, the library has these light therapy lamps that anybody can access for free in the library, and she jumped out of bed, you know, and came right to the library so that she could use them. Yeah. We've had people who are really excited about it offering to donate to expand the program because they'd like to see it.
And what type of assessment or criteria does the program need to take to know that it will be continued for another year or expand into other libraries?
We're going to see what the feedback is. We're asking people to fill out surveys that let us know whether people who are using it have diagnosed illnesses. You know, it's an anonymous survey, but we're finding out how often it's used by doing kind of regular passes and counting usage. And we're looking for anecdotal feedback that's saying, you know, this was really meaningful to me. I would like you to continue. So we're going to look at that, and then we'll end up making, I think, a decision based on kind of cost and availability of different spaces across the system that could kind of suit light therapy lamp.
And how does it run? How long does it run for? From like winter months to April, or?
Well, we launched it on February 6th, and the end of April is when we're going to kind of pull all of our data together and start evaluating it and making decisions.
Why did you decide to choose Brentwood and Malvern Library?
excuse me. It was a decision based on kind of like what spaces they actually had available. You know, are they kind of set up so that we could have a table beside a chair, and do they have kind of adult lounge areas that would suit usage of the lamps? So that was really our big decision, kind of the crux, and then we wanted places that were kind of far apart from each other.
Do you have anything you have to add about the light program and how it's going so far?
I'm really excited to see the positive response that we've got. If they're in use, I think a majority of the time, that's the feedback that I've got, that we are checking, and people are regularly using them, and I'm optimistic that we'll be able to expand the program.
That was Alex Carruthers, the coordinator of the Light Therapy Project at the Toronto Public Library. The project is using light therapy lamps to help those who experience seasonal affective disorder during the winter months. Now over to Vanita.
LGBTQ youth homelessness is an issue that Dr. Alex Abramovich is grabbing by the horns to combat. What started out as an idea has become an equality movement driven by Alex's research. I had the pleasure of sitting down with him to delve into his research.
So in March 2014, you submitted a big idea to the Toronto Star, and it was basically your vision for LGBT youth homelessness and the future of it. So you said three things: that you wanted to provide education and public awareness.
Okay.
And we would need the transformation of the current shelter system.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said creating specialized transitional housing. So now we have the Sprott House, and you also developed with the 519 the cultural competency training for the City of Toronto shelter staff.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that happening, obviously they're very big developments, but do you think that those things have made enough of an impact on your mission, or do you hope to complete other things?
Hmm. I mean, I think that it's a very good start, and I think that these are things that I had been really advocating for about 10 years. And some of these things are very simple things, like asking for just a general LGBTQ cultural competency training for shelter staff, like an anti-homophobia, anti-transphobia training. It took 10 years for that to come into place. So, I mean, that's it's a very basic thing, is to ask for just general training for shelter staff, which they should have had 10 years ago. So I think that, with that being said, it's a great start, but we're not there yet. I mean, we do have Sprott House now, which is, a 25-bed facility, which is really fantastic that we have that, but it's not enough, right? So we don't have an emergency shelter in Canada at all for LGBTQ youth, and I understand that within government, we're trying to move away from an emergency response, so that they're really looking at trying to eliminate emergency shelters, which I understand why they're trying to do that, but there are always going to be young people in crisis who are going to need emergency services, so we have to make sure that we have that available. So I'm continuing to advocate for emergency beds for queer and trans youth, and as well as more education and more funding towards longer-term solutions, so that we could really prevent LGBTQ youth from becoming homeless, and that we could work within the school system, and we could work with families.
Why exactly are they trying to get rid of the emergency services?
It's just this movement in Canada where federal government is really sort of moving away from the emergency response and moving more towards housing first model, moving towards independent living, so that that everybody is ready to be housed right away, that people should move into housing, people should be experiencing homelessness for as short as possible. And with emergency shelters, people are still experiencing homelessness if you're sleeping in an emergency shelter. So it's really that sort of mentality to move away from that emergency crisis response and look more towards longer term solutions.
Okay, so the transitional housing would sort of be the new idea, I guess, rather than the emergency shelters.
Yeah, that's right. Transitional housing is more looking at longer term solutions. I mean, living in a transitional house, it's not like you have your own apartment. You're not paying for rent. But the idea is that after living in a transitional housing program, that a young person would be ready to then rent their first apartment, perhaps.
Okay, I see. And have any of the statistics improved since you started your research, or since Sprott House became a thing, or the statistics, I guess, the numbers.
Okay, what numbers are you talking about?
So you were saying that the number of homeless youth was 2,000 in general, and then 25 to 40% of those were LGBTQ
right,
youth.
I see.
So do you know if any of those numbers have changed?
I don't know, because unfortunately even those numbers are actually really old statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with regards to queer and trans issues in general, especially homelessness, there's been a real lack of awareness and lack of research in the area. So, I've been doing this work for a long time, but, across the country, we don't really have accurate numbers. The 25 to 40% stat came from a study, in 2000, so a really long time ago. And this is because when researchers are collecting data, national data, they often don't ask questions about LGBTQ identity, which is a really important question to ask.
That was Alex Abramovich being the inspirational pioneer many LGBTQ youth look to make a change. With Sprott House and a few changed policies, Alex is truly making a difference for the cause. And it looks like that's all the time we've got today for today's edition of Where It Came From. A huge thanks to Ali and Melissa, and of course to all our lovely listeners. Again, I'm your host, Vanita Patel, and on behalf of all of us here at Where It Came From, stay dry and happy Friday.